Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dribble Podcast. My name is Craig O'Donoghue from the West Australian newspaper, and throughout this summer, I'm bringing you all the news and interviews for everything to do with basketball in WA. And what a week it was for basketball in Perth. The Wildcats fought back from 16 points down against Tasmania at RAC Arena, and the joint went ballistic as they got home by 1 point. And Perth Lynx tore the Sydney Flames to pieces, producing a 40-point win on a night where WA's star female athletes were out in force at the Bendat Basketball Centre. In this episode, we will hear from two of the key combatants in those games. First, it'll be Perth Wildcats guard Ty Webster on the back of a magnificent last 90 seconds for that team. And then we'll have Perth Lynx forward Mac Clinch-Hoycard in the studio. But first, the Perth Wildcats were 16 points down against Tasmania Jack Jumpers and looked in all sorts of trouble, but they produced a memorable win, and my first guest was involved in everything when it truly mattered.
Here's Ty Webster on the take. Gets all the way inside, hangs and hits. Webster tries to back down Miller on the block. Makes his way to the hoop and the points will count.
This time top of the key. Checks the feet, knocks it down.
Ty Webster, welcome to the Dribble Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you were involved in absolutely everything, as we said. 120 to go, you're 3 points down, you get the ball, you can tie the scores, and you nail that shot. What was going through your head at that moment?
I just know I had to put it up. You know, the week before at home, I gave up a three. Didn't shoot one, obviously. I ended up shooting it, sorry, when I was wide open a little bit later than I should have. But so I knew coming into the game that if I had gotten to the same opportunity, I was just putting it up. You know, I believed in myself, put in the work the whole week, you know, leading up to it, you know, shot extra shots after practice and all that. So it was feeling good. The work kind of paid off, I guess.
Then we go down the other end, 24 seconds left. Crawford's looking really, really dangerous, and you've defended him strongly and managed to just get your hand to the ball to deflect it out. He could have done anything at that point because he was darting around so much. What were you trying to do? What were you focusing on there?
Yeah, absolutely. Just trying my best to not let him get the ball, really. Just trying to keep it out of his hands. You know, everyone obviously knows how dangerous that boy can be with the ball in his hands. So, you know, just doing everything I can to, you know, make someone else beat us. But, you know, and when it came down to it at the end, you know, it was him and me, I guess, at the end on the last shot.
We'll get to that part in a second, but there's still another moment. There's 8 seconds left. You're down the other end. You received the ball from Bryce Cotton and you are wide open. You could have taken the three, but instead you dished it back to Bryce. And it looked like you were heading to the basket under the assumption that you might have been getting a layup until Bryce was fouled. What was going on there?
I told Bryce on the free throw line before, after Magna, I think, had got fouled and shot the free throws, I told Bryce, come back and get the ball right now. Like, not only because I've seen Bryce do it a million times, but at the same time, I told Bryce, like, I'm cramping right now. All I can do is play defense. Like, I need you to come get the ball. And he said, like, you know, don't worry, I got you. So he came back and got it. You know, I could have shot the ball. I should have shot the ball maybe in a different scenario, but right then and there, the body wasn't feeling great, honestly.
You were a serious chance to get the layup, though. Like, it looked like the ball was meant to be going to you.
Right, yeah, for sure. It would have, and then I would have had to put it up in that situation for sure.
And then we get to the big moment. Crawford's trying to win the game for them. You're defending him, and you can't foul. Like, there was so much pressure in that moment. What was your plan to avoid getting yourself into any situation where you could do something wrong?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I originally didn't want him to even touch the ball, but it was tough. You know, they set a good couple screens for him to get open. But, I mean, I didn't necessarily want him to get on the rim. You know, I think everyone initially would think, you know, make a guy that size trying to kind of beat us at the hoop. But the way, you know, Magne was rebounding and the other guys and the offensive rebounds from their team, you know, that probably wasn't the best option. So I wanted him to just, you know, shoot a tough one over me. You know, I've played against Crawford quite a few times. I've played him overseas in Turkey and stuff like that. So I know how shifty he is. I've had that assignment many times before, and I was backing myself. I just wanted him to go one-on-one with me for sure and have to shoot it over my hand for sure.
And when you look at that replay, you were so close to touching him, so close to fouling him. You were balancing on your tippy toes. What were you trying to do to avoid just even getting that millimeter further forward and getting yourself in trouble?
Absolutely. He's got the little Bryce Cotton leg flick. You know what I'm saying? He propels the legs a little forward, like a little karate kick. So you got to watch out for those. You know, that's his shot. So, you know, he's perfectly in the right to do that. So you got to watch out for that for sure.
And to do all of that, you mentioned the cramping. Well, you didn't play the previous weekend against Illawarra because you were too sick to travel. When did you start to feel healthy again, and when did you think you'd be okay for this game?
Yeah, it was tough. I guess I was feeling good by the time the game came around, by the time the Tasmania game came around. I had COVID, and it wasn't too bad. You know, just had a mild headache pretty much the whole time. So once that cleared up in a couple of days, unfortunately couldn't make the Illawarra trip because I still had a couple symptoms, but the headache mainly. But other than that, yeah, once that cleared up a couple of days, I was feeling fine. I was back to normal pretty fast, but just had to get the lungs back up, I guess, get the wind.
Was that your first time with COVID? Because we've seen different athletes struggle with it in different ways in the past.
Yeah, it was just a headache this time. I think I got off lightly with this one.
Your energy was clearly missed against Illawarra. It was very obvious against Tassie, and it's been important for this team ever since you joined. Like, how much do you pride yourself on your ability to lift other people and bring that energy to a club?
I take huge pride in that. You know, I think from the outside, I think it just kind of looks like I'm the joke guy or the funny guy in the group or whatever, but I think it's a lot more than that. You know, I think everyone knows how contagious energy can be, and, you know, if I can bring my guys up, you know, just because I'm feeling I got an extra light to burn, you know, I feel like. So, you know, like if I can bring my guys up to my level of energy and, you know, get everyone engaged in the game, take them away from whatever they're thinking about, you know, and engage in the game, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And it helps us and it propels us. And it's an important aspect of, you know, the team culture that I think, you know, it can kind of gets shadowed.
So it's not easy being the energy guy in a team because you're the one supplying the energy for everybody else whilst trying to be deadly serious with your own preparation at the same time. Who's helping you with your energy to keep you up and make sure that you're not wasting all of the important energy that you need for yourself on everybody else?
Yeah, and for sure, like you said, it is taxing for sure to wake up and be that guy every day, you know. But I mean, and I feed off other guys, you know, it's not just me as well. Even though, like, we've got guys like Usher, he's another energy guy. He's a great guy. I feed off him every day. And even guys like Bryce, you know, Bryce is so competitive. So, you know, if I say anything to Bryce in practice, you know, it sets Bryce off instantly in that competitive nature. You know, instantly me and Bryce are going at it every day. And it's only great for the team. You know, I get to guard Bryce every single day in practice, you know, poke the bear, so to speak, you know, get him, you know, and see his best moves from the best player in the league. And then I go out and guard these other guys. So it's good for me and it's great for the team.
Watching you at training, it's really obvious that you're going out of your way to help everybody else. And it feels like that eases the tension in really important moments. Do you sense that and go out of your way to make sure that you can ease that tension?
Absolutely. It's not easy to show up every day and, you know, put your body through this, you know, as a professional athlete. You know, guys have got lives outside of basketball as well. So, you know, like if I can come and make practice enjoyable, you know, make it competitive and, you know, like, and that it's only going to be good for us. You know, it helps us. It makes the job enjoyable, you know, when you enjoy coming to practice every day and having fun with the guys and stuff like that. And guys are great on the team and the competitive nature's high. And it's fun, man. It makes it a lot easier to come to work every day.
You've been doing this for over a decade now professionally, and watching you, you're clearly as professional as anyone else could be. You're as ripped and as cut as anyone would be from a body preparation perspective. Have you found when you've travelled around the world that there's some coaches who can't handle what you're trying to do and don't necessarily understand what they're trying to do and misinterpret your energy and your fun for not being serious?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. You know, I think JR's a great sport about it, but, you know, it wasn't always like that. I kind of have matured a lot as well, you know, like I'm a big jokes guy, you know, and so I probably have said a couple jokes, you know, at inappropriate times, you know, over the years and stuff like that, just to lighten the mood in the locker room or whatever, you know. It's tough for me to bite my tongue when I want to say something. So, I mean, for sure, absolutely. Some coaches, you know, don't appreciate it. Some coaches are too serious for that, you know, especially like in Europe and stuff like that. But, you know, being back home here, it's a little different. JR gets it, you know, he's a great sport about it. And, you know, kind of lets me be me.
I was actually going to mention Europe because that was the first place I thought of. There'd be a lot of coaches there who are deadly serious and wouldn't be able to handle someone like yourself. Are there some moments you can reflect on now where you think, well, that was an example of what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just my last stint in Turkey before I came to Perth, you know, me and the coach kind of didn't really see eye to eye in our approaches to the game. You know, he was kind of a deadly serious kind of guy. And, you know, I'm more of the locker room having a light feel kind of guy, you know. Like, I mean, did like always locked in, ready for business, absolutely, like you said. But you know, like going into it, got to calm the nerves somehow.
Are you actually a nervous person when it comes to sport? Is this one of the ways you use to push that anxiety away?
For sure. I think the energy. I think, yeah, everyone gets nervous, I would say. I get a little nervous for sure before games. I get anxious, stuff like that. So, and I think the energy kind of thing kind of distracts me from the nerves, you know, like it makes it easier for me to play because I'm not worried about being nervous because I'm, you know, maybe talking to some guy, I'm, you know, going back and forth with someone or I'm making a joke over here or whatever, you know, like it kind of distracts me from the nerves. And I use it, you know, to distract me from the nerves for sure in that mental aspect.
Such an important trip for this team. You've got Melbourne, Cairns, Adelaide. So three time zones over Christmas, three states. Everyone's going to be away from home. Do you feel like this is a time where you can really help with the energy we've spoken about to keep everybody happy and enjoying this trip, even though it's not really what anyone wants to do around Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's inevitable that guys are going to, you know, want to be home and want to be with their families, especially over that time. But yeah, we've got a mission on our hands. We need to all stay locked in. You know, guys are extremely professional and stuff. But like you said, it's going to be a lot of time. There's going to be a lot of downtime for us together and stuff. And you know, keeping the good vibes is very important in the team for sure.
It's a jam-packed schedule. It's game by game by game. It's such an important part of your season, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's extremely important. You know. And it's going to be really taxing, to be honest. But we just got to stay locked in, you know. We just got to play our game. We got to, you know. And as much as we just stick to the plan, and you know, can block out all the noise and the unfortunateness of being on the road for that long, we just stay locked in on the mission, then we'll be all right.
You've been overseas for Christmas the past few years, really. It must be nice to be with Corey, knowing you're going to see some family over here, and instead of being in the far-flung places over in Europe at Christmas time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's still, you know, still working, unfortunately. You know, I've got a two-year-old son back in New Zealand, so I can't spend any time with him over Christmas, unfortunately, do the whole Santa thing with him. But it's nice to have Corey here for sure. You know, Corey's got his kids here as well, so we'll get to see him. You know, we got a trip back to New Zealand in January, early January, a part of this kind of lag we're going on. So I'm going to get to spend some time with him and my mom. So it's going to be, yeah, it'll be good, you know.
I was actually going to mention that New Zealand game. It can't be easy, the life you live. Having your child over there, you being over here, it's not a simple lifestyle, is it?
Absolutely. It's the last couple of years since he's been born, you know, he's 2 years old now. So the last 2 years, it's been extremely hard to come over here, you know, be without him. You know, and you get to see him over FaceTime or through text or when, you know, when my mum's hanging out with him and stuff like that. So it's unfortunate, but I mean, you know, it's just part of the job right now, you know, and got to do what I can to provide for him and, you know, so he can have a good life.
It's a big sacrifice that you're going through playing here and having him over there. We see some athletes have to do this across many sports. Like, how do you handle it emotionally?
I guess family, you know, just grateful for what I have always, you know, and for the people that I have, you know. I think, you know, and my son's mum has been great. You know, she's awesome. She's always sending me photos and stuff, keeps me updated and stuff like that, you know, and all the events that I'm missing and stuff, like milestones for him and stuff. So, I mean, just having the family close and keeping everyone together, they help me through it for the most part, for sure.
When did you last see him?
Oh, would have been right before I came out to Perth in September, I think, August. August, I think I came out to Perth, maybe.
That game's obviously a long way away still, but this weekend is massive against Melbourne. It will really help to set up the rest of this trip, won't it?
Absolutely. You know, Melbourne, obviously the biggest test in the league. So, I mean, if we can come and, you know, start off with a win there, you know, it's only going to, you know, help us propel us forward for the next couple of games. You know, they're going to be battles no matter what, but, you know, to start off that game with the biggest test, I think it's going to be great for us, you know, especially to see where we're at.
They are the benchmark. What's the key to taking them down at the moment, do you feel?
I think just defense. You know, they've got so many weapons, you know, offensively in their team and pace for us, you know, playing our game. We like to get up and down. You know, we think we're the most athletic team in the league. So, you know, we want to use that to our advantage. But I think defense, you know, shutting down their guys, you know, obviously Gordon's playing amazing right now. And their big boys, Joel Achiuwa and Hakapuri are playing, you know, phenomenal as well. You know, they're playing great ball and they're the benchmark, like you said, for a reason. So, I mean, just I think focusing on those two aspects, we could get it done for sure.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Have a fantastic Christmas away with the team. Hope everything goes the way that you want it to be. And we'll all look forward to watching you on TV, providing that energy that we've spoken about. And hopefully things continue to go really well for the Wildcats.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And Merry Christmas to you too.
Well, the Perth Lynx had a massive 98-58 win on the weekend over the Sydney Flames. And our next guest, well, she was doing backwards rolls and she was having the best night of her career.
Choi Khan for a long three, that is nothing but net.
Choi Khan rolling to the bucket, the foul call from George. Gorman over to clinch, Choi Khan. They just keep going down.
Yes, the backwards somersaulting Mac Clinch Coycard. Welcome to the Dribble Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
That was a good backwards somersault you did in the first quarter, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, like, straight away. It was a left-hand layup that I was more surprised at, but I'll take it.
The photographer was sitting right next to me. He was like, he was extremely excited that you rolled straight towards him.
I know, it was like the perfect angle. Got my face and everything, but yeah.
It must have been thrilled, like 28 odd minutes on court, 15 points. Like, it was a real breakout game for you. You've had moments in the past, but that's the most consistent you've performed, I reckon, in any game.
Yeah, no, it feels good. Like, it just feels, I don't know, very comfortable this year. Like, I'm not kind of second-guessing everything I do. I feel like I know exactly where I'm meant to be, what I'm meant to be doing, my role and everything. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
I imagine you've had a few decisions in the off-season as well. One of the three musketeers, and you're only one of the musketeers that's left because Lauren Scherf and Tay Burrows are no longer at the club.
I know, that was hard. Missed them a lot. But, it was... Ryan and I have a pretty good relationship, especially after the end of last year. So I think it would be silly for me to go anywhere else. So, yeah.
Did you have to make, like, when your mates leave, like, it would be something to go through your head. Is it, do I need to look elsewhere? Do I need to try to find more opportunity? Is there more money elsewhere? Is there more lifestyle changes that you can look at? Like, did you consider going given they left too?
I was looking at, like, other clubs, not because they left, just because, like, other clubs were interested kind of thing. We're all pretty... I guess, like, when you make friends in sport, you kind of have to deal with the fact that eventually you're not going to be on the same team together. So, I was, like, talking to other clubs, like, with my agent and stuff, but not because they left, more just seeing what was out there kind of thing.
Has them not being there changed you at all from an athletic point of view and, you know, focus on doing something different or hanging out with different people? Like, who you hang with can change your gym group or your coffee group or any approach to sport. Has it changed you at all this season?
I mean, I've still got Amy. Me and Amy are very good friends as well. But I don't know. I don't think much has changed. I mean, yeah, I don't hang out with them, obviously. But, I still hang out with the other girls when I can. And I'm a pretty independent person. So I sometimes hang out with them, sometimes I don't. Nothing on them. That's just me. I think not having them around is probably... I don't know, they're kind of like a safety blanket a little bit. So I've kind of had to, like, work on myself a bit more and, like, stand up on my own kind of thing. So I think it's been good, to be honest.
So you re-signed in May. I saw you in May and my first comment was, geez, you've lost some weight. Mm. You looked really, really thin. And you mentioned that you've got some arthritis issues and the medication that caused the weight to just drop off you. Talk me about what you live with.
So 2020, I was diagnosed with arthritis. I started in my ankles. It was when, like, basketball was shut down and I was like, okay, what else can I do to kind of keep fit? And I was like, oh, I'll be a road runner. I don't know why I didn't run on the oval. It might have been a bit easier on my joints, but that was when, like, the swelling and pain and everything started. I've seen a lot of people, specialists, physios, and they're like, no, you're too young. You can't have arthritis right now. And I was like, okay, well, what else is happening? Because I physically, like, couldn't walk. Like, in the morning, I'd wear socks to, like, slide around because it was just too painful, just couldn't move. So eventually went and seen a specialist and they were like, okay, you've got arthritis. Put me on some meds. And instantly, like, within 2 weeks, I was back to normal. And then it started happening in my knee in the Ballarat hub. And then again, like, they were like, oh, we've got, like, this medication you can go on, but I didn't want to go on it because it's, like, quite heavy. And then I seen, like, a female doctor and she's just like, look, I've got athletes on this. It's probably the best move for you considering the swelling I had. Like, I had 3 cortisone injections and I had my knee drained 3 times in just, I think, twice in the hub and once at home after. Went on that medication. And it took a while to kind of get completely back to normal, but I think this year and maybe halfway through last is when I've been like the most normal, or well, back to what I remember myself being kind of thing, like before I got it.
What medication are you required to take?
This sulfasalazine, which is like twice a day I take that, and then methotrexate, which is like once a week. But yeah.
And a lot of athletes can't take what they need to take because it's performance enhancing, and parts of it have illegal elements to them from a wider perspective. How closely did you have to check that stuff out and make sure, yeah, I'm actually allowed to take this, or are you not taking what would be best for you because you're not allowed to?
No, I'm taking what I can. I'm pretty sure they are both allowed. The sulfasalazine is just, that's like a pretty, not low-key medication, but like I check with Wolski all the time and Wolski knows what I'm on. So, and even like Carmel, the female doctor I was seeing, she was really good. And she works with athletes, so she knows what we can and can't take. I can take what I can, it works, so I'm happy.
So when the weight started dropping off, for the obviously side effects happen with drugs all the time, like when you looked yourself in the mirror and went, oh, I've spent years putting on all of this strength, yep, and now it's just dropped off me in a couple of weeks, like, were you shocked?
Yes and no. I think it was more because like it stopped me from like movements I was used to. Like I struggled, like in the gym, speak to Wolski, I struggled with like my mobility, so squats weren't as good, blah 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 blah. But when I started getting the mobility back, I was able to do things a bit better. So I think that's probably where it kind of came from, where I lost the weight. But yeah, I feel a hell of a lot better. Yeah.
How bad was the pain? Like we see a lot, everyone knows what it's like. If there's a lot of people with arthritis out there, can't say I'm one of them, but you see people who are going through absolute agony, but they're a lot older than you are and not trying to exert themselves like you would be. Mm-hmm. How excruciating was it?
I struggle more during winter, I think, because the cold kind of makes it a bit worse. So during NBL1 was more, I guess, like early morning sessions, it'll take me a bit to get going. More just like stiffness and stuff. With the meds, I don't feel as much pain anymore. After like plane flights, I'm very swollen, but that happens to a lot of people. During like, I'm really, really like happy that the WNBL season is summer and not winter. I think that makes it a lot easier. The pain, in the beginning, it was a lot. I would be in tears a lot of the time.
Really?
Every day, yeah. Yeah.
And you would have been living, you were living alone, your family from Kel, so are you still up in Kel, or are you living by yourself, and do you have any support when you're in that sort of pain?
I had my ex-partner with me, but he didn't really understand it, I guess, because it is hard to explain, because like you go and get like a scan done, and yeah, it'll show swelling, but that's about it. I think that's the most frustrating thing about it, is you'll say, oh, I've got arthritis, and people are like, oh, but you look fine, like you look normal, and scans are fine, scans are normal, but... Yeah, I think the hardest thing is trying to describe it to someone else. But my parents were very supportive from Cal. Like, mum was every day, she's like, maybe we go see this person. Maybe I'll book you in here, blah, blah, blah. She's just trying to get me, like, to get help kind of thing. It was, like, I had my teammates and everything, like, from Warwick around me. So, yeah. But I think the pain was so much so that I would just, like, avoid the keyway. Because if I went in there and I stepped on someone's foot and rolled my ankle, it's... not good, excruciating pain. So that's why I guess I got good at shooting, because I refused to go in the keyway and I refused to play in the post. So I was like, I'll just stand out here and shoot. So I think that's another good thing, like as I've become more comfortable with my body and like trusting my body again, like I've been able to like roll to the basket like I did the other day and like get back in the keyway and be more of like a post player rather than just a shooter.
The basketball court is unforgiving as well on ankles and knees. Mm-hmm. Like how do you recover? How do you pull up?
I'm not too bad. A lot worse in winter after NBL1 games, but I'm not too bad. I have like my recovery stuff at home. I just use my like recovery boots, which help a lot. I just have to try and make sure I do something every day just to keep moving kind of thing.
So you would have liked doing that, the number of games you've had recently, rather than a big break like you're at the moment, do the back-to-back sort of games actually help you because of the movement?
Yeah, I was thinking that yesterday because we just had a four-day break just then. And yesterday's training, I was like, far out, I feel terrible. Like I felt a lot better after the games than I did yesterday. But yeah, I think that's just the trick. I just need to try to do something little, even if it's just a walk every day, just to keep my joints moving.
And are you on borrowed time from a career perspective, or will this drug now allow you to play for as long as you want to?
I hope so. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, even when I wasn't on it, like I was still playing. I wasn't very good, but I was playing. So I'll play for as long as I can. Yeah.
You've become very good in the past couple of years. Like your three-point shot is fantastic. And as you said, you're starting to add that post play to yourself now. Like when Emily Potter got herself into foul trouble, we'd after about 3 minutes, yeah. which is happening a bit lately.
Yeah.
suddenly you're thrust into that position and you're able to handle that really well, more than what you have in the past. You've been really proud about how you have risen to the occasion this season.
Yeah, well, I kind of realised that last year I was kind of like the backup for Scherfy a lot of the time as well. So I had to quickly learn how to play the post again. And I know like a big thing was with Ryan was like my post D resistance. Like last year, my defense was awful, like terrible. And I knew that he had that in the back of his mind. So I made that like a real emphasis this offseason. And at training just to make that better. Because, yeah, I was like, people do get in foul trouble. I may have to play the five, I may have to play the four. So, yeah, I just wanted to work on being, I guess, yeah, like you said, more consistent and more well-rounded so I can step up when I need to.
This is an exciting team at the moment, isn't it? Yeah. You don't win by 40 all that often in any sport, really. So how do you see the opportunity in front of you at the moment?
I think we're doing very, very well. Like if we can grab, I think Ryan said we need 12 wins to make finals, make the top four. So if we can get those 12 wins and then we can just keep pushing after that, I think we've got a very good chance of doing it. But yeah, hopefully this weekend we get Southside. That'll be a big one for us.
Is it such an important game? You know, last game before Christmas, big home game. And you've had a good break to build into it. You've got up by a lot against them last time and then just stopped.
Yeah, literally.
Like does that game burn in the memory bank?
Yeah, we spoke about it yesterday as a team. We were like, oh, we did a really good job at literally punching them in the face the first half, but then we just kind of got really tight and just stopped playing. And then they threw like a zone at us and then we just stopped. So, yeah, we definitely want to get one back on them.
Young group, do you feel like you're just starting to everyone's starting to figure out their roles and what they can and can't do?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the first few games that we won, I think we weren't really following the offense or anything. We were just kind of balling out and we won. But I think these last few games that we've won, it's from, yeah, everyone knowing their roles. We play really well together now, getting through the plays and, yeah, just doing what we're good at. So, yeah, I think we're gelling really well.
As we said before, you're a Kalgoorlie kid. Mm-hmm. Like, tell us about life growing up in Cal.
It was great. I mean, from what I remember, I didn't know any different. Like, I remember coming down and playing, like, state here in Perth. I was always like, I'm never moving to Perth. It's too big. I hate it. I'm never doing it. I love Kalgoorlie. And now that I'm here, I'm like, yeah, okay. I love it. I get what everyone, like, raves on about. But, no, I loved living in Kalgoorlie. Like, my whole family's there. Mum is, like, one of eight. So I think six of her siblings are there with kids. So, yeah, very family-orientated. Very tight knit as well. And then just like the good thing about country is you grow up playing every sport. So I love sport and yeah, that's what filled our weeks and weekends there. So yeah, I loved it. It was really good. I
spoke to Damien Martin on this podcast a couple of weeks back and he was talking about the amount of driving he had to do from country New South Wales. Hell's bloody miles away.
Yeah. Like,
how challenging was it to get anywhere to develop yourself and go to the appropriate camps and play in all the games that are needed for someone to notice you when it's not up there, they're playing it down here.
Yeah. It was hard, but my mum and dad were the best. Like, I'll ask dad to drive down tomorrow and he would. He loves driving and he loves getting in the car. He's probably done the trip a million times. And my two younger sisters also played on the state team as well, so I'd hate to think how many trips they've done. But, yeah, without them, I wouldn't have been able to do it. They would drop anything to take me to Perth and train and stuff. So, yeah, very, very lucky to have them as parents.
Did they ever get to Hawaii when you were living in Hawaii?
Yeah, mum dropped me off and then dad and my sisters came over to visit while I was there. So, yeah, they both got to see it.
And have Amy yet? Well, it's amazing how you two have followed the same path from Perth to Hawaii and now at the links together. Like, it's quite remarkable of all the places you could have ended up and you end up in the same university in the same WNBL team.
Well, yeah, kind of when I was deciding what college to go to, it kind of made me feel more comfortable knowing that I had, like, a fellow WA girl over there and then another Aussie, Courtney, who is from Tasmania or now lives in Brisbane. She was also there as well. So I was like, oh, there's two Aussies over there. It must be good. And yeah, having known a little bit about Amy, she was always metro, I was country, so we're kind of like head to head all the time. But yeah, and then yeah, we became best friends when we were over there, and we still are today. So yeah, it's a good story, actually.
It's amazing. And tell, for the people who see your name written down all the time, and I get asked all the time, where's the hyphen?
No hyphen.
No hyphen. No. So it's Mackenzie Clinch Hoycard, but it's Mac Clinch Hoycard. No hyphen. No, yep. Middle name.
No.
So is the whole family dropped the hyphen forever, or was the hyphen dropped at some point and you just don't know when?
Oh, well, when we were younger, me and my sisters always just went as Hoycard. Like, it was just Mackenzie Hoycard. I didn't even realise Clinch was in there, but it was just because it was easier. Mac Hoycard, Mackenzie Hoycard. So yeah, mum kept her name, dad kept his name, so I just got both the last names. So yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And now you're now absolutely rolling and doing a great job. So look, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it. Big game this weekend is Saturday afternoon, 3:30 PM against Southside at the Bendat Basketball Centre. I'm sure you would want as many of the Lynx fans to get down there as possible. It was a massive crowd the other day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was huge. For a Wednesday as well, it was pretty good. So yeah, I think the female athletes made up for the Wednesday night, like, crowd dip that we usually have, so it was good to have them there as well.
Western Force girls allowed, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, it was good. They need to come to every game.
Well, good luck this weekend. Good luck for the rest of the season. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of the Dribble Podcast. Thanks to Ty Webster and Matt Clinch-Hoycard for their time. Thanks to Josh Cable for all of his production work as usual. Remember, you can read all of your basketball news in the West Australian and at thewest.com.au. And make sure to go to the West Sports YouTube channel where you can see all the videos from these interviews. You'll also find our interview with WWE superstars Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio there as well. That was absolutely outstanding when they were in Perth last week. So if you're a wrestling fan, you'll enjoy that, I guarantee. Have a wonderful Christmas. We'll be back post-Christmas with another episode of the Dribble Podcast.